Amen. Good morning. God bless each one. Greet you with words of grace and love. May we receive God's love and receive His grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That was a blessing this morning, wasn't it? See the children up here to hear the Word of God. Why don't you stand to your feet with me here for just a few minutes and have a little prayer. I would say before we pray something to remind you of. Prayer is is many things, but in one way it is a statement concerning faith, because it shows just by the act of praying that we are dependent upon God. And in a way, it is prayer that uniquely unites our hearts and souls to God. I remember reading one time that Edward Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army years ago, said that one should always pray as if everything depended upon one's prayer. Now, on the one hand, you could think that's pride, but on the other hand, if you really hear what he's saying is, I can't do anything unless God answers my prayer. So you see, there is a connection between prayer and faith. So faith sees that in myself I can do nothing, but connected to God through prayer, all things are possible. So shall we pray? Yes, our Heavenly Father, we do praise You. We give You honor and glory. We lift our hands, our hearts, our lives to You today. Thank You, Father, for being our Father. Thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for the little children, for the songs that move us and touch us. But most of all, thank You for Jesus. He is our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer. Thank You, Father, for this meeting, for this little bit of time to share Your Word. I pray now that You would bless Your Word and send Your Spirit to guide us into all truth for Thy glory and for Thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you. In the 8 months or so since my family and I have been attending here at Charity, one of the things that we have commented on time and again is what a great blessing it has been and is to see the work that is being done in the kingdom of God by you. I know it's God, but God has chosen, as it were, for a season in this church age to limit Himself to you and I. We are His hands, we are His feet, His voice. He has so ordained that in the dispensation of this church age. And I've been blessed by observing and seeing God's hand and feet in your lives and sending out missionaries. I think there was almost a little bit of a joke in our family there. It seemed like the first 6 Sundays we were here, you were sending somebody out to the mission field. We were just after a while saying, how many more Sundays can this happen, you know? Will there be anyone left? You know? But we were excited, and it was very good. And we're very thankful. But I believe, and I know you do too, that God wants us to, by faith, apprehend even more of the kingdom of God. I know you believe, like me, that it's not all done, is it? And we're not all done, because God is not all done. And I believe God needs more laborers. I believe God needs us to labor even more. And so the title of the message this morning is Real Labor Needs Real Faith. Real labor needs real faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And I would also say, as you're turning there, that it's not just that we want more labor for the sake of labor, but it needs to be for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, and we need to finish the course. We need to finish the race. We not only need faith, But we need to be faithful. And if we had the time this morning, and I won't take that time to read through this entire chapter, which we probably should, but I won't, you will notice several constants in the lives of the people that are mentioned here. One of the constants is that everything they did was by faith. In fact, the phrase "by faith" specifically is used 15 times in this chapter. But the other constant, the other thing that you would notice in reading this chapter is that they all finished their course. They finished the race. They didn't stop short. They didn't go halfway and go back. They didn't give up. They didn't faint. They went all the way. And there's something in that that is very important and I believe precious to God. And so we want to look at that a little bit this morning too. I think I'll begin by reading... let's just read the first four verses here of chapter 11 of Hebrews. Why don't you read with me the first verse, and then I'll keep reading 2, 3, and 4. Is that okay? You understand what I'm saying? Just read the first verse. I think if everyone reads the first verse with me, and then stop after that, and I'll continue, and I'll read the second, third, and fourth verse. Ready? Begin. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, there's that little phrase, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, and the it there is his faith, okay? So by faith, he being dead yet speaketh. So he finished his course, and not only did he finish his course, but by the faith of his life, the course of his life and the work of his life, though it seems finished, guess what? It's still speaking. You know, speak up means it's still happening. He didn't just speak. It speaketh. This is real faith that really works. If you notice there in the second verse, it says, for by it, and again the it there is not a thing, it's the faith of the elders. By their faith, they obtained a good report, meaning as you look at their lives and the things they did, it isn't the things they did that matter as much as how and why they did them, and that is by faith. Their faith is the thing that speaks of their good report. Because let's face it, in church life, since there have been religion to churches, men have done a lot of good things, quote unquote, right? But it's faith that makes God put His approval upon it. It's that it, by faith, that they've done those things, that then they get a good report from God. God is then well pleased. And we know if we'd read later down into this chapter, it even says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's almost a shocking verse, isn't it? Because, you know, we might say that in our theology, but we don't often act like that. But the Bible says here, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so you can go back to verse 2 here and see God is well pleased by these people. Not by the things they did, but because of why they did them. They did them because of their faith in Him. And so that's the connection that you need to have. And again, my encouragement to you, as we want to apprehend more of the kingdom of God and keep having Sundays like those first six Sundays I was here, it's by faith. It's because we believe God, we believe the Word of God, we believe the Spirit of God and the Testament of God before us here, that this is the reason we do them, and we want to do more. Not for the doing of the stuff. You know, men are funny. We can get caught up in the stuff. You know, it's pretty easy to do that. But if we lose sight of the reason we're doing it, it's because of faith in God. It isn't a good report. It doesn't stay the course. It doesn't finish the race. Paul, at the end of his life, was able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course set before me. I finished the race. And he did it by faith. So we want to look at faith a little bit here this morning. To many, to many people who sit in pews in many churches, to many churchgoers, Christ is sadly many times, or it seems like He's more of an idea than a real person, or perhaps He's an ideal. He is not a fact, a real person who really came, who really walked the dusty, dirty roads of Israel some 2,000 years ago and really fed the 5,000, really said the things He said. He's just sort of this mystical idea. Millions of professed believers talk about Jesus as if He is real, but actually they act and live as if what He said didn't really matter. That's not faith. Our actual position of what we believe is always to be discovered by the way we act, not by just what we talk about. And my heart for you and I is to walk the walk of faith. Real labor requires real faith in Christ, and that we can count and make a difference in the kingdom of God. And I know that's your heart too. This is not a message, again, of warning or anything like that. I hope this is a message of strengthening. I believe this is a message for those from the front bench to the back bench, that if you're here today and you're struggling with faith, or you've ever struggled with faith, or maybe even assurance of salvation, that you can leave here today not struggling with faith anymore. And if you're here and you're not struggling with faith and you're going on in faith with God, that this message would only bolster you and strengthen you and embolden you to walk further with your God, to have a good report of your life by faith for the exploits that you want to, and may I say, need to do for your God. I am saying I believe in you. I believe you can do it. And I believe you will do it by faith if you sell out and put your faith in God. You know, any belief that does not command the one who holds it, it is not a real belief. I have observed that there are many factors which affect faith. One of them I'm going to talk about a little bit more is this thing of the will and the choice. Your will and your choice to believe is the root of obedience. And obedience is the evidence of our faith. Will is your character in your in action. I have seen that it seems like to me great Christians have a lot of wills and weak Christians have a lot of wishes. You can believe in God. You can trust Him. It is not something away over there for only a super few saints. It is right here. Believing in God and trusting God is not something that you have to get a degree in or that is far away. It is right there to be received as a little child, Brother Steve. It's not something for a select few. Well, we want to take this deeper look into faith. Let me give a little bit of a definition. I struggle with giving definitions sometimes of faith, but I think I'll just give this one and then we may refer to it from time again. Faith, I think, has been one of the most wonderful, simple things over the last 2,000 years in Christendom. And it's also been one of the most misunderstood and frustrating things for some over these last 2,000 years. I know, being a minister for these last 13, 14 years, I'm losing track of time. Time and time again, I'm often amazed at the number of people that struggle with faith and seeing how simple it is and yet how frustrating it can be to a very sincere saint who's just caught in a struggle with their faith. And it really does happen. And so, let's take this bit of a deeper look, because we do want real labor in the kingdom of God. Let me give you this definition. It says, faith is an agreement, an assent of the mind and the heart and the will to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on their authority and authenticity without other evidence. The judgment that what another states or testifies is the truth. And then we give our full approval to that truth in agreement and in action of our life and the decisions we make. Sorry it's so long for something so simple, but I'm trying to cover a lot of bases. Should I read that again or not?
Yeah.
Is that okay. All right, let's try it again. Faith, an agreement, an assent of the mind and the heart and the will to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and authenticity without other evidence. The judgment that what another states or testifies is the truth, and then we give our full approval to that truth in agreement and in action of our life and the decisions that we make. All right, maybe it'll help if we do this. Let's maybe state, sometimes it helps to do, it takes the other side of something. You ever try to take the other side of something and it helps? Let's say what faith is not, okay? Let's try that for a few minutes. Faith, for instance, is not positive thinking. There was a book written, was that in the 60s? The Power of Positive Thinking, somebody help me. Is that the right name of the book? I can't remember who wrote it. Norman Vincent Peale, or I can't remember. But, you know, and that was real popular. But that's not faith, okay? If you read that book, sorry, that's not faith. That is something quite different. Faith is not a hunch. It's not just a feeling. Faith is not hoping for the best. Faith is not hoping that everything will just sort of turn out all right somehow. That's not faith. Faith is not a feeling of optimism. Faith is not a mystery. It is not a sort of supernatural sixth sense. Faith is not intuition into seeing things into the spiritual realm that some seem to sort of have and others can't seem to get a grip on. That's not faith. But sometimes we act like that's what faith is. Faith is none of these things. Faith is not scientific in that it cannot be put under an electron microscope. But beloved, according to the Word of God that you read, faith is the substance. Faith is a real concrete thing. Faith is the substance, it says here, of things hoped for. The word substance means foundational. It actually has as part of the definition as concrete. Concrete is a real substance, isn't it? And it doesn't mean concrete like concrete, but that's where we get our word concrete. It's something that is solid. It has substance. Science, for instance, cannot tell me how human history is going to end, but by faith, I know how it's going to end. And I believe what God says about how the world is going to end. Science cannot tell me what is wrong with the human heart. What is the reason that people act the way they do? And you act the way you do. But you know what? By faith, I know why people act the way they do. Not because I'm wiser than others, but I believe what God says about the condition of man's heart. I believe it. Science cannot tell me what lies beyond death's door. Even the greatest scientists alive today, for them, death is an enigma, a mystery. But by faith, I know exactly what's going to happen beyond death's door. Because God has already told us. We don't have to guess at it. We don't have to have a hunch or an intuition. We know what's going to happen after a man dies. And by faith, I believe that is exactly what is going to happen. You know, over the years, more and more and more, it seems God has really impressed me with this subject of faith. And has shown me time and time again that faith is substance. It's real. It is concrete. It is not a wishy-washy, willy-nilly intuition, hope it happens to me sort of thing. Faith has substance enough to base your life upon. These people, if we were to read the lives of these people, everything they did, they based their whole life, their destination, their future, their livelihood, their family life, everything, they based it on one thing according to this book, or this chapter, 15 times, by faith, Noah built an ark to the saving of his family. He believed what God said so much that he actually built a boat in the middle of a desert. And on, we could read of all these people. So faith wasn't a hunch. I wonder if there might be a flood. No, it was substance to him. It was the greatest reality of his life is what God said. And his belief in that then directed the action, the activity of his mind, his heart, his feet, and his hands. The ark didn't just appear took him over 100 years sawing and building for that ark to take shape. You know, chapter 11 is called by many the catalog or the hall of the heroes of faith, and I believe that's true in many ways. But really, that's not what it is. It's a story of what faith does in the lives of ordinary people. It's really the story of what faith does in the lives of any person, whether they are the harlot Rahab, which is the last one mentioned by faith, or Abraham, the father of faith, can do and does do if they live their life by faith. Because real labor in the kingdom of God takes real faith. And once you have real faith, you know, things can happen in your life and in the kingdom of God. This chapter illustrates for you and me, and these people are still speaking. They are witnessing by faith. Live your life this way. We're not to just look at the stuff they did, and amen for all the stuff they did. It is inspiring, isn't it? But you know, without faith, it wouldn't be written here. And again, they stayed the course. They persevered. They didn't give up. They finished the race. You know, it's so easy to try to make, without meaning to, I suppose, even, the Christian life into a series of rules or things that we do or things that we don't do. Men love rules and regulations. And I think a little bit of that is in all of us. I know when I go to a new place, as I do sometimes, one of the things I ask for is, can you write down directions? I want to know how to get there. You know, I don't like it if they just sort of tell me. I like to know, turn right on this street, left on this street, go past this farmhouse. I love the harmony of that, the orderliness of it, and I follow those directions, and boom, I arrive there, and there's just sort of a something. Oh, I made it. Well, you know what? I didn't really make it. I followed the rules, you know. And there's something about all that that's kind of reassuring to all of us, but faith doesn't always work out that way. You know, Abraham did not know whithersoever he goest, but by faith he believed God was going to take him there. In this chapter, you will find people who went an altogether different route than every turn spelled out to the nth degree. They followed the path of faith, and the path of faith is the same path today. You know, there are paths in this world that are old and worn, and some of them still exist. We went out to Yellowstone Park camping, when was that, 3 or 4 years ago. And there were paths in those forests that have been there 70 or 80 years, and they're really well worn and wide and really nice to walk on. You know how a big path like that is nice to walk on? But, you know, the path of faith is older than that. It goes back to this. It runs through the whole Bible, and it's still going today, and it'll lead on into eternity. And that's the path these people are on, and that's the path you and I need to be on if we're going to work real labor in the kingdom of God. Now, I know what it is for people to struggle with faith. I know for some it is difficult to believe God maybe has even saved you. We use the phrase, they struggle with maybe their assurance of salvation. Maybe someone is here that knows what that feels like. I'm sure there are many here, actually, in a crowd this size, that at times have actually struggled with some of those things about assurance of salvation. Some I've found to find it difficult to believe God could maybe love them. Some have found it difficult to believe that God could forgive them because they know of some of the terrible things that they have done. And on and on and on. And if you are one of these people, may I say very lovingly and carefully, praise God, you do not have to stay in that state. That is not God's heart for you. God loves you. He does not want you to struggle with faith. He does not want you to struggle with your salvation. That is not what God has in mind for you in this path of faith that these people are on. And I do believe by faith and by the Word of God, you do not need to struggle with those things because God does not want that for you. God does not have that for you. So for today, I beg you, if you would, for a minute here, please to begin this morning by doing something that is very simple but maybe a bit difficult, and that is this. Stop looking at your faith. though I'm going to preach about faith, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not allowed to look at your faith. Now, that's going to seem like, Brother Rick, how can you do that? That's a paradox. But it's a great paradox. You know, how could Jesus be fully God and fully man? That's a paradox. I don't know that I understand it all, but it's true, isn't it? Okay? Well, with faith, though I'm preaching about faith, what I'm saying about your particular faith, one of the ways you're going to get in trouble is to have faith in your faith. Because I'm not asking you, and God is not asking you to have faith in your faith. God is not asking you how you feel about your faith. And that is perhaps one of the biggest problems for most when they struggle with their faith, is they're focusing on their faith rather than the object of their faith, which is God, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Amen? For if you get your eyes off of your own faith, your own failures, your own inadequacies, and we all have them, and turn your gaze upon God and His promises, then all He asks you to do is believe in Him and His promises. And that's faith. That's the kind of faith these people had. Faith is not a feeling. Now, it may change how you feel about things. In fact, you know what? It should change the way you feel about everything. Right faith will change the way you see everything. But people mistakenly think that faith is a feeling that they have, or if they don't have it, then they don't have faith. A feeling of maybe confidence or optimism. A feeling that something just sort of is. And therefore, if you have this feeling of confidence, then you must have a lot of faith. But if you don't have that feeling of confidence, then maybe I don't have a lot of faith. And then somehow your faith depends upon these feelings of confidence. And you need to muster up those feelings of confidence when you need it. People get on this, it's an endless loop or cycle that's hard to get off. Did you catch that? But that's not faith. That is not what God is not asking you to muster up a feeling of confidence. Because I have no confidence in my flesh. You know, my arm is very short. My arm is very weak. But that's the kind of understanding and definition of faith that no one would say out loud, but is the reality of where too many of us are at times and our struggles with faith. It's an endless cycle, an endless loop that it's difficult to get off of. And it confuses, again, very many well-meaning saints who end up struggling sometimes for years. Do not measure your faith by your feelings of confidence or your accomplishments. You do not give your faith to God in this way. You give your faith to God by believing what He has said and what He has done. You know, I have observed and I've begun to believe that the opposite of joy is not sorrow. It is unbelief, especially for the Christian. You know, joy is a unique thing, I believe, that is especially, I should say, maybe for the Christian. But you know, if you're struggling with unbelief, not a lot of joy in that, is there? You know, not a lot of joy in that. A lot of frustration and retchings and your mind gets turned around. And, you know, it's a sad place to be stuck in that place of a lack of faith. Look to Christ. You know, men are fascinating creatures. You can be standing outside with a group of men and talking and look up at the sky at night and say, you know, I read somewhere that there's 300 billion stars in the sky. And everybody will go, yeah, really? Wow, that's amazing. But you can approach a group of people and say, Jesus Christ died for your sin and the only way for salvation is in Him. And they'll say, get out of here. What are you talking about? You know, men are interesting. What they want to believe, they can believe. And what they don't want to believe, they won't believe. Americans, I think, are some of the most confused people in the world. A recent U.S. News and World Report said that 93% of the people in America said that they believe that God is very important in their life, but 70% of those same people said that they believe that they are allowed to determine what is right and wrong in their own life. That's not believing God. Okay, that is not believing God. You know, it's being very confused. That is not faith. That is unbelief. That is not trusting God. Well, this morning I'm calling you to labor in the kingdom of God, but it's to do it by faith, to get involved, to apprehend the kingdom of God as these people did, and they did it by faith. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It is not an uncertainty, or it is not a gamble that you roll the dice. If you think any of those things, then you do not understand what faith is. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher in England over 100 years ago, once said these words, and you need to listen to the whole thing to try to get what he's trying to say. It doesn't sound like he's talking about faith, but he is. Okay? He's giving you the real answer to faith. Listen to this. He says, "It is not thy love of Christ which saves thee." A lot of people think that it is, but it's not. It is Christ that saves thee. It is not thy joy in Christ that saves thee. It is Christ. It is not even thy faith in Christ that saves thee, though faith be the vehicle or the instrument. It is Christ that saves thee. Faith, therefore, is not something mysterious. Faith is just looking to Christ who saves you. Most of you today arrived here in a car, I'm assuming. Maybe a bicycle or a horse and buggy, but most of us arrived here in a car. Most of us will leave here in a car. Now, we could sit here and philosophize and say that I believe my car will take me home. Does believing that my car will take me to 377 East Church Street take me to 377 East Church Street? What do I have to do? I have to get into the car. And then what is it that takes me to 377 East Church Street? The power of the car, right? That's the way it is with Christ. It is not your faith that saves you. It is when you put your faith into Christ. He is the one that has the power to get you where you need to be. And that is how simple faith is. No analogy is perfect, of course, but if you get the point of that, that is kind of what Charles Spurgeon is trying to say. It's not even your faith that saves you, though that be the instrument for apprehending the salvation. It is Christ Himself that saves you. And so faith is, again, that thing that looks away from myself and trusts Christ, trusts God, trusts the Word of God. And in that act of believing, many spiritual dynamics happen. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as the real present and the invisible things as the real world. I don't know if you believe it this morning, but I do with all my heart. I believe that the spiritual realities of what is going on in this room is more real than me seeing you. I believe the Spirit of God is here, and I believe the Spirit of God is more real than any one of you, because the Spirit of God has a testimony and a testament of the Word of God in working in people's lives for these last 2,000 years and in the Word of God, and I choose to believe that is the greater reality. Though this is a reality, the Spirit of God here to me is a greater reality. Not because I have this special glasses to see it, I believe it. I put my faith in what God has said. It's not a hunch. It's not a hope for. It's a belief and a faith in that, in what God has said. Said another way, faith is nothing but what God has promised and said. All the remarkable things we read in the Bible, and in this chapter as well, by men and women of God, were done, all of them were done by faith. Not by works of men or women, not even by, may I say, a general faith. You know, general faith generally does very little good. General faith generally does very little good. But by specific faith directed to a specific matter at hand. When you read about these heroes of the faith in this catalog of their works, it wasn't that they generally believed God was out there somewhere. God asked them, told them a specific thing, a specific fact, asked them to do a specific duty, to whether it was to go to Canaan for Abraham or build an ark for Noah, or the harlot Rahab to believe that God was going to save her and her family. Whatever the examples you want to use here, it was something that happened in their specific life at a specific moment that they had to believe. And that's the way real faith always is. Faith is not this nebulous pie in the sky. Well, I just sort of believe. What do you believe is what really matters. Not a general faith. Dear Saint, listen to me. Be not theological about faith. Be specific. Be not theological. Be specific. Take the first specific step in faith. You ever seen one of those, what do they call them, spiral staircases? You know what I'm talking about? Spiral staircase. Anybody seen one of them? Well, you know, when you're on the bottom step, you can't see all the steps all the way up, can't you? But you start out believing and, you know, thinking there's going to be steps. Well, you know, with God, you may not know everything that's going to come, and you don't. But take the first step. Be specific. You have to specifically get on that first step, or you'll never make it to the 7th step, or the 14th step, or the 18th step. And that's the way it is walking the Christian life in the kingdom of God and doing things in the kingdom of God. Many great men of God, they don't have everything figured out. You know, whether they're a missionary going to a foreign country, they often encounter things they never dreamed they would encounter, but they had to get on the boat and go across the ocean by faith to begin that journey. Abraham, in verse 8 here, I've referred to it a couple times, perhaps we should read it. Yes, in Hebrews 11 it says here, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place. Notice the specifics. He was called to go into a place. It wasn't general faith, which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and then what did he do? He went out, not knowing whither he went. But how did he do all of that? By faith. He didn't figure it out. He didn't look it up on GPS or Google Maps or whatever it is. You know, he believed God for a specific thing. He was called to a place. He didn't think it was just sort of out there somewhere. God says, I have a place for you. I promise you this place. From a secular illustration, I used to be a student of history, and so I pull a lot of understandings from my own heart out of history, so bear with me. But Christopher Columbus sailed to the New World in a 66-foot wooden boat. I don't know how long this building is, but I think it's probably less than 66 feet. But anyway, it's not a very big boat, really. But he sailed all the way across the Atlantic Ocean. From the seashore of Spain, he did not have any physical evidence that there was a New World. There was no satellite images of the New World. He had a belief that if there was a seashore in Spain, surely the sea ends and there's a seashore somewhere else. But until he specifically got in the boat and went over there, he would never know. But he believed by faith that it was, and he went. He dared death in a 66-foot wooden boat over the Atlantic Ocean. God is asking you in the kingdom of God to get in the boat, to begin the journey. And it has to be specific to get in and do those things. Remember, God has given to all men, I believe, two sets of eyes. These eyes that are flesh and blood, but also eyes of faith. Anyone can believe. It is not an impossible task. It is not for a select few. It is not something you have to get a degree in. Anyone can believe. Faith must be specific. Well, how do we lay hold of this faith? How do we appropriate more faith? If I were to ask you the theological question, do you want more faith? We would also all say yes, and we do, and I want more faith. We all want to believe more and more. And we agree that faith is essential, or I hope you agree with me, that faith is essential to every aspect of the Christian life. Do you believe that this morning? I hope you do, because it's true. Faith is actually essential to every aspect of the Christian life. So then how we lay hold of this amazing stuff of faith is very important. Again, earlier I mentioned your will, maybe fortunately or unfortunately, has more to do with it than we think it does. Men are often asked, I'm always amazed in the Bible how many times men are put on the spot to make choices. You ever notice that? You know, choose this day. You know, this choosing. But in the choosing and in the choices we make, we reveal what we really think about something and what we really believe about something. If you don't really have a lot of faith in something, you know, I remember years ago I was with my wife at a party. We were at a friend's house and they had this big hot air balloon there and it was all tethered down and this big thing. And they said, do you want to ride in that thing? And I looked at it, and I looked at the guy doing it. And yeah, anyway, I said, you know what? No thanks. I don't think so. I didn't trust the guy or the balloon. And you know, I just didn't trust him. And you know, that's just kind of the way it is. We reveal a lot about ourselves, about our choices and what we choose to believe. Now, we all know, don't we, that for us today, the best source, if I can use the word source, if you'll allow me a little bit of liberty there, for faith is what? That's right. Is that the best source? Yes, I believe it is. Turn to Romans chapter 10, just for a little verification. I love it when God makes things simple, don't you? Verse 17 of chapter 10, it almost sounds too simple, okay? But you know, faith really is simple. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now do you understand why I gave the definition earlier? Because it's, remember that definition, it says an assent or an agreement to the testimony, to the words of another, to their authenticity and the authority with which they speak. Do you believe in the authenticity and the authority of the Word of God? Theologically, amen. But we need to act like it too. We need to believe it. Okay? Because faith cometh by hearing. We hear the Word of God, then we believe the authenticity and the authority of it, and it affects then what I do or what I don't do, the way that I act. You know, D.L. Moody was a great evangelist for many, many years back in the late 1800s. I guess he even lived maybe to the early 1900s. I forget the date of his death. But he said in one of his journals that he wanted a lot more faith. He believed he needed more faith to work in the kingdom of God. And so he said, I prayed for faith many, many days with fastings and tears. And I prayed for faith, and I actually thought God would just strike me with a boom, thunderbolt of faith, and I would be whew, full of faith, and that was it. He said, but I was wrong. He said, the more I prayed and the more I read my Bible, I realized that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I began to read and study my Bible more and more, he writes. And the more I did, the more faith I had. And he records that my faith has been growing ever since. So, I don't know if I can give you any other greater source than that. You know, it happened to that man of faith that God used in the kingdom of God, that he finished his course, I believe. And many souls were converted at his ministries there over many years, both in England and here in America, I believe, as well. The Bible, beloved, the Bible is, in a way, God's window through which we look into eternity and into spiritual realms. The Bible opens up those veils for us. But we must open the window to see. And seeing, we must believe. And then we pull it into our life. Okay? What does it say in John? Go to John for another simple verse. The book of John, chapter 20. Near the end of the book there, second to the last chapter. I think the last verse of the second to last chapter. John 20, verse 31. Again, I love it when the Bible makes it simple. John here, the beloved disciple, wrote this book of John many, many years later, after Jesus had gone on to heaven. And he's looking back and he's thinking, and he's filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is testifying to him what he should write down, but also why he should write it down. It's not just what, it's the why. And here in this verse, we're given the why. Verse 31 of chapter 20. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. So this is the window through which you can look, if you open the window, see into eternal and spiritual realms, and seeing these things written, hearing them, you must believe. And then if you believe, it changes everything. Consider Abraham, the father of faith, for a moment with me here. Go back over to, go over to Hebrews first here for a minute. Chapter 11 again. We already read verse 8. I don't think we read verse 9, did we? Let's pick up and read 9 and 10. By faith, are you there? Hebrews 11. We already read verse 8, so I'm going to pick up in verse 9. By faith. Notice by faith is repeated again in the story of Abraham. Do you think that believing once is enough? I found in my Christian life I need to believe again and again and again, and I need to re-believe. I don't know if that's a word. Things that I already believed. I need to see them again. Maybe I'm just a leaky vessel, but I find I need to see those things again and say, yes, I believe that. And it's somehow reinforced in my own heart. So with Abraham, we had in verse 8 he believed, but here in verse 9 it also says by faith. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I think we sang that little song last week, didn't we? But anyway, Abraham believed God, and it caused him to act out those things. Go back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 is one of the truly great scriptures in the Bible, very foundational to much of the rest of the Bible. I commend unto you the book of Genesis. If you're not a lover of the book of Genesis, I dare say you may not be a lover of the Bible, because the rest of the Bible quotes the book of Genesis more than any other book. And if you can understand and believe Genesis, the rest of the Bible, whew, is a wide open field for you. So it says here in Genesis 15, verse 6, and he being Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him. Got to get your pronouns right. And he is Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he being God, counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. So see, faith is not just a singular, standalone thing. When you believe in God, there is almost as if there's this heavenly transaction that occurs. Your faith goes into what God has said, what He's done, and then there is a response out of heaven to you to give you strength, to give you grace, to change you. His faith is not a static thing. It didn't just change what He thought about. It actually changed Him. It changed His circumstances. It changed His life. And I believe His faith changed His heart, because now, according to the Bible, by believing, he became righteous. There was righteousness imputed or counted unto him. And if you want to work in the kingdom of God, and I know you do, and you want God's grace and God's strength, you have to do it by faith. And if you do it by faith, if I'm doing this for God by faith, then actually something happens. It's not just my labors doing the thing, but it's actually the grace of God. This is a spiritual thing. This is not just a physical thing. The grace of God, the strength of God, the righteousness of God hovers in and over what you are doing, and it becomes a holy thing unto God. Faith is amazing stuff, isn't it? It's amazing. Abraham just believed God. He accepted what God said. This is the way you get saved. This is the way you work in the kingdom of God. This is the way you answer the call of God, just as Abraham answered the call of God. The faith which Abraham had, and by the way, what did Abraham have to believe in at this point? Was Isaac born in Genesis chapter 15? No, not until what? Genesis 21? Somebody help me, I think. Almost 20-something years later, whatever it was, or 18 years later. I forget my timing on that, but it's many years later. But at this point, he only had the promise of God. He had the Word of God. And you and I haven't seen the things that have happened in this book with these eyes. but I have seen them. I believe them to be true. I believe everything. I don't believe this is a storybook. It's true. And so Abraham was at that same place of choice. God said, you will be the father of many nations. You will have a son. And Abraham believed him, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And the faith which Abraham had not only made him righteous, but it made him faithful to God. Now, this is important to remember. He was not saved by being faithful. We know that because a couple of times he stumbled, didn't he? Did Abraham live a perfect life after Genesis 15:6? That bothers some people that he didn't. But you know, I don't think I've ever met any Christian that has lived a perfect life. If you find one, let me know. But I know you won't, because there was only one perfect man, right? So Abraham stumbled sometimes. So he didn't make it into chapter 11 of Hebrews because he was always faithful. Was he always faithful? No. But he was faithful overall, because the pattern of his life is when he messed up, he repented and he went on. Like all men of God. Amen? Whether it was David always faithful? No. But did he receive the promise of God that through him the Messiah would be born? And of course David had to say, who am I, Lord? You know, he knew who he was. Who he was is somebody that stumbled. But he was faithful in that even when he stumbled, he still decided to believe again the promises of God and get back up and go on with God. That's faith. That's actually being faithful. Now, you may not define it that way, but I'm sorry it is. The lives of these men in chapter 11, it doesn't mean they did everything perfect, but they were faithful. The beat of their heart, the way of their life was they were going to finish the course. Even Paul made mistakes. We know he made some mistakes. We read about some of the things he said and did, and we kind of go, oh, I'm not sure he treated Peter right there. I'm not sure he treated Barnabas right. And we get a little, you know, uncomfortable reading those things. And, oh, Paul, why'd you say that? You know? But he was faithful. He did finish the course. Okay. He was saved by believing God. This is all important. Dear Saint, you will be able to do great things for God, not because you are great, but because you have faith in a great God. Not because you do it all right, but because you have a God who is all righteous. Now, I do not want to say that the Word of God is the only. We got into this by trying to get you to see there are sources, there's ways to apprehend, to appropriate more faith, because we all want more faith. Amen? Because if you're like me, you've stumbled, and sadly, you probably stumble again. And when you stumble, the only way out of it is faith, because you have to believe God will forgive you, by the way, to be forgiven. You know, you can't just turn a switch and you're forgiven. You actually have to believe that if I repent, God will hear me. It takes faith to actually even repent. Because remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Every aspect of the Christian life, without faith, it's essential that faith is involved in everything. Now, having said that about the Word of God, I do not want to say that it is the only source to look to for faith, although it is the best and clearest source that I can understand. Look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And we'll see the second source here to appropriate or apprehend more faith. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prophet. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, now listen to this, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, a lot of people who get saved don't really get saved because they read a Bible. A lot of people get saved because they hear the preaching of the cross. They hear the preaching of Jesus Christ. And so the preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the cross, is another very, very important source of faith, may I say. The foolishness of preaching. It says here that God was well disposed, well pleased, that the plan of salvation originated out of His good pleasure toward us, and that it was His wisdom, the wisdom of God, that one of the ways to give that out is the foolishness of preaching. Now, not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching, meaning the method of getting out the Word of God, the message of God, maybe I should say, of the cross. One of the primary ways of getting it out, whether we like it or not, is preaching. Preaching. Now, I have experienced and seen the effect of preaching, how it can challenge, change, and inspire people to be strengthened in faith. Now, if all they do is remember it was a good message, that's not the purpose of the message. But it's to do something, to prick something in their heart, to do something in their heart, to see the cross, to see Christ, and believe God for it. That will change their life. Brother Steve said we should be changed here. It isn't the message that will change them, but God will use the foolishness of preaching to get to a heart to say, yes, I do believe God for that. And then that will change their heart. That will change the course of their life. And I will say, maybe just a word of caution, perhaps, if I could say it that way. I have observed a bit of a tendency in too many of us to look to the preacher. To say, well, Brother Rick said this, Brother Aaron said that, Brother Emmanuel says it this way, without realizing, in a way, they are pinning their hope on the preacher and the way he says things. I must tell you, never pin your hopes on a man. You know, we will always fail you. We are just men. Any preacher will tell you that. It is the message, not the messenger, that God wants us to hear to have our faith strengthened. Men have their uses. Praise God, God uses us. But we are too often like the sand on the seashore. You know, the sand on the seashore actually has a lot of uses. It's mainly silicone. You can make glass out of it. There's a lot of good things about sand. But you don't want to build it for the foundation of your house, do you? You know, we know the stories of the Bible. You don't build your foundation on that. Don't build your foundation on a man, but rather the message of the man of God using the Word of God. Another source of prayer, of faith, is prayer. Prayer, by its definition, as I said earlier, means we must have faith to even truly, really pray. Turn to Mark chapter 9. I have prayed a prayer like this in different occasions in my life and found that God does still answer prayer. Here we read in Mark chapter 9, this man has brought his child to the Lord for deliverance. And Jesus, taking compassion on him, says something very interesting. He puts a condition upon the deliverance. Remember I said, faith is essential in every aspect of the Christian life. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Talk about a blank check from the God of heaven. I read that verse, but I have to be honest, I don't think I understand it. I believe it, but I don't understand it. It's too big for my brain to understand, but I want to believe it. I find I'm like the man. And you know what the man's response is? Same sort of thing. You know what he says? And straightway the father of the child cried out. And when the Bible uses the word cry, it's a prayer. It's a supplication. It's God, help me. You know, the children of Israel, when they were in, slavery for almost 400 years in Egypt, it wasn't until they finally cried out, you know, in the agony of their situation unto God, and that their prayers became a cry, that thing went up before heaven. And God sent a deliverer in the person of Moses. 400 years they waited to cry. And you almost want to think, why didn't they cry before? I don't know. But here, this man, he doesn't wait 400 years, praise God. The Bible says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I think that's an honest prayer. I've prayed prayers like that. I believe God, but God, I want to believe more. Can't you help me? Can't you strengthen my faith? Can't you do something? I want to see it more and believe it more. I believe that's a prayer that was praying in accordance with the will of God, because Jesus has just said, if you can believe, all things are possible. So we know by what Jesus said that it is actually the will of God for you to believe even more, isn't it? And so he prayed in accordance with that, and he had faith. And of course, we know the end of the story. Jesus did deliver the boy, I believe, from a demon or a spirit. Okay, another source of faith is the other end of the spectrum there, and that's the answers to prayer. You know, I don't know about you, but when I hear about an answer to prayer or I have an answer to my own prayer, something sort of snaps inside me. It's like, whoosh, I'm lifted up. It's like I'm walking a foot above the ground. I said, God heard me. Now, of course, I believed He would, but, you know, I guess I'm still enough of flesh and blood that when He actually does, it's like, whoo, He heard me. And that actually does something to my faith. Am I alone in that? You know, I hope not. It just, you know, like, yes, He did it. And, well, let's just see what it says here. Where am I at here? John chapter 11. Oh. Yes, 40. Sorry, lost my way here. Got too excited. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? You want to see the glory of God? I do. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. Now, He's prayed, right? But He's going to pray more. And I knew that Thou hearest Me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, and they may believe that Thou hast sent Me. So He's praying, so they'll hear His prayer, but guess what He really wants them to see? The answer to His prayer. Okay? Okay, watch this. We're not done. And when He thus had spoken, He cried, so He's going to pray one more time with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. See, Lazarus was really dead. I believe it was 4 days. It wasn't just a little bit of a swoon there. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. So the answer to Jesus' prayer and Lazarus being raised from the dead, the seeing of the answer to His prayer caused it, says it, many of the Jews. It's one of the few places that you'll see that phrase, many of the Jews believed on Him. It's used a few times or a couple times in the Gospels. Of course, when we read in the book of Acts chapter 2, then we see many Jews there converted. But it doesn't happen too often in the Gospels, but this, of all those times, of all the few times that it happens in the Gospels, this is one of those few times when Jesus prayed to God, prayer was answered, many saw that, and they believed on God. Okay, another thing that is always, I believe, a source or a way to apprehend or appropriate more faith is witnesses of faith, witnesses to what God is doing in another's life. Let's turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. God here is making a declaration about promises to the church, promises to the kingdom of God, promises to spiritual things and how they're going to work. He says, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. We live in that day, by the way. God is calling. The call of God is going out to the ends of the world. You know, God has a plan of salvation. But you know, again, He's going to limit Himself a little bit. Even every one that is called by My name, for I have created him for My glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled who among them can declare this. Notice that phrase. Who can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are My witnesses, saith the Lord, and My servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. Now, I read all that to say this. There is something about witnesses coming and declaring who God is and the works of God that causes belief and faith to help rise up. Many of us here, I'm sure, have been to a testimony meeting, or maybe you hear a testimony of a conversion here, or maybe at the tent meetings down in the summer. I know we have a lot of testimonies there. And when you hear a testimony of a person that has been called by God, and they hear the call, and their life is changed, and they're not the same, as Brother Steve said happened in his life, something about hearing the witness of that, what does it do? Something happens. Your faith is strengthened, isn't it? It's bolstered. It's buoyed up. There's something that's like, yes, God did it for him. He can do it for me. I believe it. I've seen it. And there's something in all those things that kind of puts a little more glue in our spiritual life to hold things together in the faith that we need to have. All right. Another aspect of faith, another source of strengthening our faith is, of all things, love. Love. Now, you're going to say probably, Brother Rick, what does that have to do with anything? But I have noticed, and I wish I had the time to read all the Scriptures. There's dozens of them. But there is a direct parallel, direct connection between faith and love and faith. They walk like twins holding hands through the New Testament. They are very closely tied together. One seems to strengthen the other, and the other one seems to strengthen the other one, and back and forth they go to help each other along. I'm just going to read some of these verses quickly. Don't look them up. Don't take the time. I'm not going to read them all that I have here. I'll just read a few so you can see what I'm trying to talk about. Galatians 5:6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Ephesians 1:15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." Ephesians 3:17, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." Ephesians 6:23, "Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 1:3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love." 1 Thessalonians 5:8, "But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love." 1 Timothy 1:14, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ." See, our faith is in Christ and our love is in Christ. They walk together. 2 Timothy, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus." See how they walk together there? In Philemon, Paul wrote to him, "Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ and towards the saints." So this connection of faith and love is very important. I've seen and witnessed in my own life that when saints are together, fellowshipping, loving God, loving each other, and serving each other, and ministering to each other, and the love is flowing like it should be, that also it strengthens and bolsters and buoys up faith one with another. To see God at work in someone else's life in love in this way, exhibited by their love, is a powerful witness of what God is doing in their life and in the kingdom of God. Faith is not, beloved, all of these things that I've given you here, the Word of God, prayer, preaching, witnessing, answers to prayer, love, I give you these things so that you can understand this. Faith is not belief without proof. We have the proof. Faith is not belief without proof, but it is, may I say, beloved, trust without reservation. Now, I started this morning by encouraging you in your work in the kingdom of God, and my desire that you would run the race, that you would finish the course. There is something in your faith being strengthened and bolstered and buoyed up that you can be just like, may I say, these men and women in Hebrews chapter 11. You may not do the exact same things they do, or you may, I don't know. Many of them ended up, by the way, martyred for their faith. Because the chapter ends saying, many of whom were sawn in half and the world was not worthy of them. But the reason the world was not worthy was because of their faith. You know, they had turned away from the things of the world and believed in God and had begun to do those things to finish the race that God had set before them. Let me just give you this illustration about finishing the race. You know, I remember as a boy growing up in Kentucky in 1968, I would have been 13 years old. They had the Olympics in Mexico City, and I think they just finished the Winter Olympics up in Canada here not long ago. And they had the marathon race that was there was very popular that year because there was a lot of famous people racing in it. And the race was finished and had been finished for over an hour, almost an hour and a half. And the crowds were leaving and limping into the stadium came the last runner. His name was John Stephen Aquari from Tanzania. And he wasn't running anymore. He was hardly walking. He was mainly limping. He'd taken a really bad fall early in the race and his leg was all bloodied and bruised and torn and beat up. And the crowd ended up standing up and applauding him as he drug himself across the finish line. And of course, the first thing one of the reporters asked him when he got through the finish line and got a drink there was, "You're badly injured. You're hurt. Why didn't you quit? Why didn't you give up?" And he said, "You know, my country did not send me here to start the race. They sent me here to finish the race. And I'm thankful that I have started the race. I'm thankful that you've started the race. But like I said at the beginning, the race isn't over." You know, it matters as much or more how we finish than how we begin. You know, a lot of us may not have begun all the right ways. I'm not sure I did. You know, if you looked back how I got saved and some of the things that happened in my early Christian life, I'm not sure about all those things. But I know where I'm going. I know what God wants me to do. And I believe that God wants you to continue your work in the kingdom of God. And that for you to continue the race, to finish the course that God has for you, for us as a church, you will need more faith every day, in every way of the rest of your Christian life. May God bless you and give you faith, and may we as a congregation learn to trust Him more and more each day. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. What a blessing the ministry of the Word was. The Word of God just was washing over my soul, brother, as you were sharing this morning. I was just ministered to and edified and strengthened and built up in my faith through the hearing of the Word. So blessed with the thought this morning, I just needed to hear that again. You know, Abraham's faith was counted to him for righteousness. And not only is that, not only is faith counted for righteousness in the beginning of our Christian walk in regards to salvation, but also in sanctification. As we step out in faith in those areas that God speaks to us about, and we believe God, you know, when He speaks to us about a need in our lives, that it's counted to us for righteousness, and we're purified. Okay, I'll open it up to the congregation at this time. Slip up your hand if you desire to comment on the message or have something to share this morning. In the back there, Brother Timothy.
I'm very blessed this morning to hear the message and such. It's been very much of an encouragement to me. As many of you know, we are planning to be leaving for Indonesia in about 3 weeks. And I've been for quite a while already just praying, asking God to show me what my heart posture should be, how I should look at this whole matter of going to Indonesia. And God has very clearly been speaking to me about this aspect of faith, and that it's only by faith, trusting Him, that we go, that we do anything. And So I'm trusting the Lord this morning to continue to lead us, to ask us to take those steps of stepping out when we don't know what's going to happen. And I think that that's one of the works that God wants to do in our hearts as we go, is that He wants to teach us to trust Him more fully. So pray for us, particularly in this aspect, that we may trust Him fully. Thank you.
Amen. Others? Slip up your hand. Up here we have a sister. Up here a brother.
I just wanted to testify how God answered prayer for me last week. Well, this week. Last week I had a financial situation come up. And it was about a house I had sold in Ohio. And the realtor called me last week and said that the owners said there was a problem with the septic, and that they had contacted the health department and they had done some testing. And this was like 7 months after I had sold it. And it was something that I had not expected. And I didn't have any problems when I was living there, so... Anyway, they said that they were going to get estimates and they would contact, get back with me. And after I hung up, I was praying. It was like, this could be a lot of money. It could be thousands of dollars. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I prayed about it. And my prayer was that even if the people that own the house, if they would pay half of the bill, that would be a big relief to me. And so the realtor called me this week and said that they came up with the estimates, and it ranged from $2,700 to over $4,000. And she said that the owner was going to go with the lowest estimate of $2,700, but she said that the owner was just asking that I would pay half of it. And that was just the answer to my prayer.
Praise God. Amen. Increase of faith, like Brother Rick shared, as those things happen.
Yes. I just want to thank you for the message, Rick and Steve. It was a real blessing in my life this morning. And I guess that's some of the things that God's been doing in my heart recently, and I just couldn't help but sharing. I've been really blessed by writing things down recently, and I've been strengthened in my faith recently myself. And in times past, I feel like I have lived in Galatians 3, where it says, "Did you receive the Spirit?" And let me start with the first verse. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish?" And this is the one that I feel like I have been in times past. So it's a confession and also a testimony of what God's doing in my life. "Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?" And the thing I wrote down was, "But the just shall live by faith," Galatians 3:11. God uses symbols in His dealings with us human beings in order to get our attention. For example, He used a pillar of cloud to lead the children of Israel. Yet God will remove the symbols of guidance in our lives. And when He has done that, some of His followers prove to be wedded to the symbol instead of to God. As a result, the loss of God's symbol wrecked their lives. He may permit you to walk by sight for a season, but after a while He will begin removing the visible symbols and let you tremble, so He can teach you how to walk by faith. God bless you.
Amen. Anyone else have one back here? Okay, let's get this sister back here first. Go ahead.
I was very blessed by the messages, both of them. This past week in our family devotions, we've been going through Galatians, and in there it has talked about our faith, faith versus works, and also how we're heirs of God, and that we're not under the law. We're not a son to the law, but we're a son to Christ. And I just felt like God was riveting in my heart again that I'm His child by faith, and that anything I can do is, anything I do or be is by faith, not in myself. And I was just very blessed. Thank you for laboring in the Word.
Here we have a mic.
Well, I was really blessed this morning too, and I was so excited with the messages, what we had heard today. I just felt there was an overflowing in my heart. I have been here in the States for about 4 months now. I'm from Belize, and the purpose of me coming was fellowship, of seeking God and wanting to grow in Christ. And God has done that in my life, and I've been richly blessed. God has really been speaking to me in this last few months and working in my heart, uprooting things that in my life that should not be there, and freeing me from sin. And in the past, there's a number of years in the past where I just seemed like I could not live in victory. And praise God, it's not so anymore. God has delivered me, and in my heart was a cry to learn to walk with God, to learn to humbly walk with God. And I was really blessed, especially in leadership seminar in Indiana. It was a real boost for me, a real strengthening to my heart. And I just committed my all to God and said, Lord, I want you. It's about you. I give my whole life to you. And the Lord has been doing wonderful work in my heart. And then here this last week, especially, I just felt a dryness in my heart. And it seemed like it was not, the heavens were not so open, so clear. And I was wondering, it was not the way I wanted it to be. I sensed there was something wrong. I did not have the joy. And this morning, God just spoke to my heart and chastised me. I felt His hand upon me, singing this song, Alone with God. God just spoke to me and said, that is what you need. You need to be alone with me. You need to spend time alone with God, to gaze into my face and learn of me. And I just realized right there that I had failed in that. I had my focus had turned to how I can be a good Christian, there's things I need to do. And I just realized that my eyes had turned, kind of in a sense, turned away, turned a bit off from the Father heart of God. And then the first message was just affirmation of trusting in God, as we're adopted. I'm a son of God. I'm adopted by God, and He's my Father. And the verse in Romans really spoke to my heart, was where it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So I have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, as in where I commit my life to God, that I now fear in bondage. I fear that I might not be good enough. I might not be able to make it or be a good enough of a Christian. I might not. It's not. We have not received that bondage of fear, but of freedom, of love, just as a little child trusts in its father and his daddy, as we saw this morning. that's what God has called us to trust in Him, to lean upon Him. And so I was just really blessed by that. And then the message of faith, just we don't have faith in our faith. We don't work it out. It's faith in Christ. It's not about me. It's faith in God. It's about Christ. It's about a King who we serve, a King who has bought us with a price, and which we could have never done. A King who has bought us, and now we are His children. We are His servants, His subjects, and it's about Him, not about what I can do or how I stand. It reminds me of what I read about in a devotional book about surrender. Surrender is not, the purpose of surrendering to God is not that I can live a holy life, that I can live in victory. Surrender is, it's because of Christ. It's surrendering to Christ, it's because of Him. It's not because of how I can live a holy life, how I can walk in victory. It's, yes, we do want to do that. We want to walk in purity, but it's about Christ. And it just was, I was really strengthened and chastised. I felt God was really teaching me this morning, and I'm blessed with it, and I desire to walk on by faith.
Thank you, Glenn. In the back there?
Yes, I really appreciate both messages, and God's been showing me some things recently. I know that God loves me, and yet I'm still have some physical infirmities, and so He's got a reason. So He's been showing me some things that some more healing for my soul and some sins that He wants to deal with. And sometimes I guess I've blamed maybe a little bit the sickness for some of these bondages, but actually it's, if it's there, it's there. And sickness can magnify them, and it can be a help if God can use that. And so I would just like to ask for prayer for more healing for my soul. God's been showing me some fears and condemnations and also some pride. Seems like there's a root of pride that needs to be taken out. And I just would like you all to pray for me the next few weeks. And I think that's where focus can be right now. Thank you.
Amen. All right. I think nobody else has a mic, right? Okay. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. You know, all the promises of God are yea and amen. That word amen means so be it in Christ Jesus. I think of the verse, yet this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So let's remember, you know, God puts a lot of emphasis on acting out in faith. In other words, acting out that which He speaks to us about. We move ahead and step forward by faith.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.